Man Tools is brought to you by EXO Auto Works, Colorado Springs' home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. Call now, 719-375-3232, or visit exoautoworks.com to make your appointment. Enharmonic Studios. Enharmonic Studios is a hybrid digital analog facility designed to be quality and affordable to anyone who wants to make history. Call today, 719-963-2020, or go to facebook.com/enharmonicstudios. Twisted Apes Bar and Grill. Twisted Apes offers a full menu, live music, and they're the home of Twisted Radio. Check them out at twistedapes.com. Madrid Maintenance. Madrid Maintenance offers excellent handyman services in the Colorado Springs area, starting at just $35 an hour. You can reach them by phone at 719-963-2020 or online at facebook.com/madridmaintenance. Trevor's Beard is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is my go-to for beard hygiene and styling products. So you should head over to thebeardstruggle.com and use the code TLANE15 for 15% off your order.
Shit in Spanish. This is America. We have a national language. I want to check your fucking self, because America does not have a national language.
It's funny how it's Father's Day and we just talk about moms. We just get drawn into it. We just can't.
To me, the idea of taking a child through a sex change to begin with is just nuts.
I think I'm going to go out here. Oh, I'm going to go out here on a limb and speak for all the ladies.
Walk down the hill and I'll call them head first.
There you go.
Take me out.
Stay solid.
Man Tools.
Crying out loud. I'm thoroughly unprepared.
Completely.
Shut the fuck up. Wildly unprepared. I'm trying to share the face. So Facebook and the face pages changed their all their stuff. Now you get your own personal feed for a page.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm trying to share to my page, personal page, you know, to get everybody seeing it. Trisha, how are you doing, lady? Haven't seen you in a while. Join up in our chat if you like. And Marty, too. My brother's on. Trisha's watching. Join up in our chat. It's real easy to get to. If you go to tinyurl.com/mantoolschat. That's
it.
Where to chat with us so it actually comes through, because the face pages sometimes doesn't. It doesn't ring through or whatever. It's like a party line back in the 80s.
Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. I remember. Yeah. I remember.
Those are the best. Thoroughly unprepared.
I am
but
younger than you, but I do remember those.
You're just that far behind. Just I had to do second grade over again, so we're not that far away from each other. I digress. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to have a fantastic show for you. We've got a great guest this evening. Enrique Gutierrez from findmyparent.org will be joining us shortly after we get through a couple of things real quick. Number one, I'm in a fucking great mood. You know why?
What is that?
I've worked like 70 hours already this week. And for those of you who know me and know Man Tools, work comes first. And when I'm this over the barrel and stressed and money's coming in and work's getting done and I get these pictures up on stuff and the clients are, you know, trying to feed us beers at the end of every day, like, oh my God, thank you so much. I'm just like, this is the best. So yeah, I'm super stoked on, you know, cause work's flowing, the workflow, love it. Love getting stuff done. We had three big jobs this week alone. So, no, thanks for doing that. Three big jobs this week alone, and we're going to wrap them up on Saturday. Wrapped up one today, and just having a good time. I got my brother working with me. Got Zach, who's my left nut, as he calls it. There's the right-hand man, there's your left nut. That's been my week so far. I'm pushing 63 hours already for the week.
I, so nice. my week. We'll get into it also a little bit later. But I'm the proud parent of a teenager.
Yes, you are.
As of today.
I'm the proud... how did I put that to her last week? The obligatorily responsible adult in case of a drastic
or a tragedy.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a godfather. Dude, I remember when she was born.
I do too.
I remember when we baptized that little turd.
I know.
Oh, we're so old.
Well,
she's 13.
She is, yeah. We got a lot of show to get to, so let's
do it.
Let's bring in our guest, and we'll talk to him about who he is and what he does, and all of that good stuff. So everybody, please welcome Enrique Gutierrez from FindMyParent.org. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Trevor. Thank you, Lane, for having me here. Appreciate it.
We thanks for joining us. This is an interesting thing that you do, you know, for folks, for kids, for, you know, that it's near and dear to my heart. So let's jump in and please describe everything that you do basically.
Because
our listeners have at least a fifth grade education. So
I'll break it down simple. Essentially, what we're trying to do is, yeah, we're developing a technology that empowers people, children, teenagers, adults, to find their family members who they lost contact for many things. You know, you can use it because of refugees, wars, misplacement of natural disasters, or sometimes because of parental abduction or parental alienation and that sort of thing. So.
And I think the parental abduction and alienation is probably kind of what we would focus on with this show, being that we're a men's issues. And I'm going to make a gross assumption. Let me ask you this. Is it more common, if you know, is it more common for mothers to participate in parental abduction or fathers?
From the data that we have compiled, and on this I'm speaking here, I'm an expert, I would say, in Japan. It's 99% the woman.
Okay, that was my assumption, but I didn't want to go out there and make the assumption.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
Which is interesting. I guess get a little more into what your organization does to help solve that problem.
For sure. And to go a little bit more on that, you know, there's about 20 million children in the United States who don't have access to a parent for whatever reason.
Wow.
And so it's not an issue in Japan, but the reason, what we're trying to do, my reason why I'm focused in Japan is because of my personal case. And I'm trying to bring awareness to the world of what's going on in Japan as well. And the whole point is because there is no such thing as you can go to court, you go to family court here as well, and you can kind of work your way through it and actually get to see access to your child to some extent after you spend thousands of dollars and lawyers and months of going to courthouses and exhausted everything you have. But Japan is basically flat out, you get nothing. The mom basically, typically, it takes the child. You don't even have to be divorced. And says, like, yeah, you can no longer see your child. And that's it. And the man basically has zero rights at that point. And legally, the law will not do anything about it. And it sucks because we have a huge base in Okinawa. And a lot of Americans get affected by this as well.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that about Japan.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense now that you say it. Like, it all sort of falls into place. Considering my uncles and cousins, you know, Korean War, and came back with wives and kids and, you know, families in the 50s and 60s. So, yeah, it makes, I mean, wherever we, as America, have, you know, bases or things like that, I'm sure we're all people, so.
Oh, yeah, I'm a veteran, so when I was in the military, I knew a few guys when I was stationed in Germany who had kids with German women. And I don't remember I remember them having like parenting time, I guess is what you would call it, custody, whatever, with their kids over there. But I have no idea if that was just because the moms were nice or if that was because under German law they had to.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And then you get into the whole, I imagine it with, especially with military folks, you get into, you open up a whole other ball of wax when it comes time to PCS back to the U.S.
Sure.
Because then, you know, I know here a lot of times I've heard from lawyers and stuff that states here will generally, when there's a situation where, say, a parent is going to go out of state and they want some kind of custody arrangement that allows that to happen, most of the time states want the kids to stay in the state that's hearing the case. Because generally, for whatever reason, a lot of kids end up either coming back or just staying there and becoming taxpayers, which is what it boils down to.
Well,
is...
yeah. Sure.
But I wonder if internationally, is there a trend where countries kind of try to rule that, oh, no, the child has to stay here, can't go back to America when that situation comes up?
Answering some of our chat feed. I'm going to do this a lot. Sorry. Yeah, Keys, thanks for the new background. It's Christmas in the bunker here. Merry Christmas. Marty said, I believe in response to your 99% rule, he said it's likely due to a lot of things, maternal mental issues, abuse, and on and on and on. So,
right, but the thing about Japan is there's no regulation in terms of family law. So there's about 200,000 cases a year. So there's over 3 million children, alas. I mean, they're still that are considered still children who have no access to a parent. And my child's one of them, right? Yeah, it may be mental issues, but the other problem with Japan, if you dig a little bit deeper, you'll realize that in Japan, they don't recognize a mental disorder. So that you can't go to a psychologist and be like, hey, like, listen, I have a mental disorder. And then the government will acknowledge and say, like, yeah, okay, you have a mental disorder, therefore you're not a fit parent. That doesn't work in Japan.
Right.
So you can't bring that to court. Basically, the way it works in Japan is, and I mean, it's a problem for our servicemen in Okinawa, right? And there's from what I've read, there's over 10,000 Americans who are affected by this. 3 million Japanese men affected by this, and this is why suicide's so high, and this is why Japanese men don't want to have children, right? Because a woman can literally any moment say, screw this, I'm done, for whatever reason. They might have mental issues or not, just get up, take the child, and then at that point he or the husband no longer has access. You can still be married to her, but he doesn't have access to the kids. And on top of that, half of his pension will for always go to the woman. Even though you know they're even if they're still married or divorced, since the woman knows that she has all the hands on her deck, she'll say like, "Listen, I want X amount of money a month for child support." There's no defined child support in Japan. Like you have to pay this amount. I'll give you my example, my ex-wife's lawyers are saying, "Well, we don't really care how much you make. This is how much we want a month." It's like extortion.
Wow.
Whoa.
And there, what they first came out to me offered me was one hour a month, and that was like, you should consider yourself lucky because some parents get 1 hour a year. I was like, I'm lucky, 1 hour a month, huh? 12 hours a year. But it's almost 2 years since I last seen my daughter.
Oof. Wow.
And this is completely legal, extortion. I've talked to the congressmen in Japan, and they say, hey, this is they call it child trafficking at the government level. And yeah, usually, again, it's a whole method that they've developed. It's fascinating. You know, we talk about the Me Too movement here in the United States, but they take it to another level in terms of feminism in Japan. So I'll give you an example, right? There's no – and I learned about this because I went to my lawyer, and I said, like, listen – my ex-wife, she was still my wife. She tried to kill me. I went to the police station, and they just basically laughed at me and said, go home. Everything's okay. I'm like, what do you mean everything's okay? She just literally tried to kill me. And he's like, it's okay. Just go home. I'm like bleeding in my neck. My shirt's ripped. this is in Japan. And they're like, go home. Talk to your wife. I was like, okay. So I brought it up to my lawyer. He's like, he's gave me this very eloquent answer. He's like, I've been married for 40 years. I go home. My wife throws dishes at me. That's okay. But I can't throw dishes at her. And I was like, wait, what? I mean, it's like, in my country, it's not right to do it. You know, she does it or you do it.
Right. In El Paso.
I think that's normal.
I was going to say, in El Paso County, if you're a lady's wife, you know, or how do they do that? How was that one case? Any abuse, any sort of anything like that, assault on either side, and you're in a domestic partnership or marriage, you're both going to jail that night, no matter what. Yeah.
Well, you would figure, you know, this is the third largest economy in the world. You figure there would be some sort of, like, law on that, right?
That's so bizarre.
And then he explained to me, like, listen, there's no such thing as a woman committing domestic violence towards a man in our country. But there is a law.
So they have carte blanche to throw dishes at you. Oh, Zach just chimed in. Man, let me tell you about El Paso County. Yeah, Zach is Zach's had a little problem with his former live-in girlfriend who did not. I will say that she did not press charges, but then the county did, or the state did. So okay. A man can't break his own TV in his house and be loud and yelling, and he's still gonna go to jail.
You know, it's interesting because here in this country, you figured, even here in, where I'm in California, right? It's a far liberal state, right? You know, my wife at the time, she did some domestic violence against me, and I called the police, and they said, you're strong enough. Why? It's okay. Like, she beat me up. Like, she scratched all my forearms and everything, and they're like, you're okay. It's fine. I'm like, I'm okay. If I would have done that.
Oh, here it comes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Handcuffs, right?
Yeah, you're a tough guy. Just fucking slap around a little bit, bro. Because, you know, that's exactly, what you right? can do.
But if I slap around, then I go to
jail. The thing I just said, ladies and gentlemen, was complete and total sarcasm. That's like number one rule. You don't just slap anybody around for no good reason.
Yeah. Yeah, but to your point, right? I mean, the officers, they came and I said, like, listen, we need you to get out of the house, grab your stuff and leave. And I'm like, wait, I'm the one that called the domestic violence getting... against me, yet I'm the one that's supposed to pack this stuff and leave.
We are going to send you your male privilege checklist t-shirt.
Yes,
I'm going to send you
right?
your male privilege. Thank you for having male privilege. You just defined everything that we put on that t-shirt. Your checklist.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're bigger and you're stronger. You should just... Nah, it doesn't make sense. It does not make sense.
It's mind-boggling sometimes, right? How gender bias and like, listen, I'm all for equality with women and everything, but sometimes like certain things like this, they get the benefit of the doubt. Let's be honest.
No, it's true.
Well, I think part of the problem is, at one time I thought I came up with this brilliant idea that social movements follow the laws of physics, and I thought I was the first one that came up with that. And then I did some research, and of course, that's not an original idea. But everyone is familiar with I think it's one of Newton's laws, that an object in motion tends to stay in motion.
Yes.
Well, that happens with social movements, too. And I think what's the problem is with feminism, the third wave, modern wave, whatever you want to call it.
Third wave feminism.
They've already swung the pendulum to the point where they reached equality, but it's got to keep moving until something stops it from moving. Mm-hmm. So now they're getting into the territory of it's not about equality. It's about treating women better than men.
Give carte blanche.
Yeah.
You get carte blanche. coming in from my brother who wrote a really good book, The Fog of Domestic Violence and The Handbook for the Living, those two books. He says it's all too common. Domestic violence is just the body in charge or control, not the consciousness. And I'm like, yeah. The manipulation through the use of children is seriously pathetic.
It is, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and hearing you talk about your case and your story, I thought I had it relatively bad with my ex. and to be honest, the worst that she engaged in was some withholding of parenting time. But
considering you get 1 hour a month.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I haven't been allowed that for the last nearly 2 years.
Exactly.
Because I'm still saying no, and we're still going to court.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Now this is Japan, which is a different, you know, I don't know of any states here that have that kind of, anywhere near that kind of, like bias. Ours is a lot more subtle. Like for an example of kind of how the bias, some of the worst bias that I know of here, from what I understand in Michigan, regardless of income, child support is a paternal responsibility.
Right.
Under Michigan law, which is, it's like you, if you're a dude and you married a millionaire, and then things didn't work out and you go back to working construction, you're still going to pay your millionaire ex-wife child support if you had a kid with her.
There's no economies of scale in Michigan is what it boils down to.
That makes it difficult.
And that seems to be about the worst that it is here. I think the big thing you're shedding light on, at least to us, is how some of these nations that we see as equal in terms of being more or less progressive or modern or civilized
of technologically advanced, et cetera, business advanced,
seem to still have some strange. I guess here's my question. In the case of Japan, is them favoring the women, is that a new phenomenon, or is it something that goes back to an idea that they're too, like here in the States, we used to have something called the Tender Years Doctrine, which was the idea that all children needed a mother more than a father.
Right.
Is it something that goes, it's more traditional, well, it's more important to have a mother, or is it a new phenomenon where they went feminism, we're always going to favor the mom, or maybe a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both because of the way the culture is set up, and you know, going through this, I learned that the word deadbeat dad's a little bit more. It's misclassified, and we'll get into that afterwards. But to answer your question, it's a little bit about the culture because, see, in Japan is women are not really in the workforce, right? So my ex-wife used to tell me, like, okay, in Japan, you go to school, you go to high school, college, you really don't do anything in college. College is a joke in Japan. You just party, drink, and meet friends and do everything you can under the sky. And then you start work, and then the first 2 or 3 years as a girl, then you get picked up, and then you get married to a guy in that company, and then you stop working and go home, and you just basically bear the children, take other children from there on out. That's basically your life in Japan. So the woman on the workforce is really not that common. So what happens, right, you kill the career at such a young age. Two, the reason why women are tend to do this more is because they're at home, right? So they can just they're with the children at all times, and they can just literally pack their stuff and leave, right? And the male usually comes back from work after working till 10 o'clock at night, and he sees his house is empty. He's like, where's my family? And then she'll leave a note usually saying, like, listen, we left.
You're not home enough.
What typically happens is they say they'll leave to a domestic violence center where they would give them shelter. And the government provides subsidies for them to live there for several months until they find an established home for them. They even change their names and everything. And they don't even have to prove that there was ever domestic violence. They could just say there was domestic violence and they're subsidized by the government. So that's why I think women tend to do it more, because they spend more time with the children, while the men out there working long hours. And that sucks.
Yeah, that's... I'm curious too. I imagine this is a driving force too. I just read about this term, and I'm not going to even try to pronounce it. But apparently, there's a Japanese word specifically for men now that are completely isolating themselves from other people. And it's not just women. It's kind of, they just don't want social contact at all because they see it all as being at best a zero sum game, if not a loss, to interact with other people.
Yeah, living in Japan. So see, I went to Japan when I was 19 years old for the first time, right? And, you know, just like you guys, civilized tech advance and all this, right? That's what I thought, right? And I went there for the first time, and yeah, I thought so too, but not so much on the tech. I mean, I'm coming from this Silicon Valley, so I was like, well, tech is not there, but public transportation is pretty good. When I met my wife, she would tell me, like, Japan's not really what you think. And I'm like, I didn't really get it. And then all her friends who lived here in California told me the same thing. Japan's not really what you think. And I was like, no. I mean, I've gone to Japan once and then also a few times, I think 2 or 3 times to go see her family. And I thought it was kind of nice, right? And they all said, no. Just believe me. And they wouldn't really tell me anything in detail, right? It's like this hidden secret that nobody wants to ever talk about. So, you know, when we decided to move there and I started living there and I started making my own friends and I started seeing things and questioning certain things, a lot of them were like, see, the thing is, you don't understand how our culture is, like, everything is fake. I was like, wait, what do you mean? It's like, everybody just puts up a front. We're all fake with each other. This is not really what you're seeing. In America, when we go to America, we love it because we can actually express ourselves. We can actually be ourselves. And nobody is going to say a damn thing about it because it's okay. But here, the moment you say something that's out of line, everybody will step on you, even though everybody will agree with you. But they don't want you to get out of conformity. Get back in line.
Wow. It's like,
and I was like, shit. It's like a giant prison. And my ex-wife used to call Japan a giant prison. And that, living there, I felt like I was living in a giant prison.
Wow.
And I was like, I can understand why Japan has such a high suicide rate.
Yeah.
That combined with, like,
if you feel like you can never be yourself.
Ever. The construct that you've made to present to everyone else that is basically just like everyone else's construct.
Yes. Exactly.
And then you got to go home and deal with your own issues and just your own wants and needs. Simple stuff. Even the most basic of things. You can't even go out and be like, look, man, I want a cheeseburger because everybody's eating, you know, chicken sandwiches. Let's break it down for the fifth graders. Because Dave's watching, Zach's watching, Marty's watching, Keys is watching. You guys are all awesome. I'm just fucking with you. It's... That, no wonder the suicide rate is ridiculous there.
Yeah, know? It is. Yeah, that's one of the driving factors. And you know, these long working hours, you know, a lot of it is because I learned is just because. So in Japan, basically, you have to go to work. You go to work. You have to get there before your boss gets there, and you have to leave after your boss leaves. Right.
Sure.
So this is true things that my friends that I met in Japan have told me, like, their bosses will literally go to their office and sleep.
Yeah.
Like at 6, 7, 8 p.m. and go get a coffee at like 8:30 p.m. and then maybe leave at 9. And nobody in the office leaves because the boss is still there.
Still there. I mean, we learned that from TV in the '80s with Michael Keaton and Gung Ho. Like, we figured it, you know, our skew of Japan is just so off. It's ridiculous. Apparently, especially now talking to you and having a little more insight, it's just way off. I'm going to check in with our chat feed real quick. Here's something for you. It was directed at you, Enrique. It was that there is a domestic violence center in a town here in Colorado. This is from my brother who did research for his book. It is run by women that force domestic violence onto everyone they encounter. So you get that side too. Let's see, Dave checked in. Beer Crinton, the word you were looking for?
According to Beer Crinton, is Dave. Beer Crintonism.
Beer Crintonism, that's what it is. Dave is, I'll just say this about Dave. He's probably the hardest working guy I know, and I try to do 70 hours by Thursday night, so he works harder than me. He's a lady killer, I'll tell you what. Just, probably buried in his backyard.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I have no idea. I mean, I work about probably 80-90 hours a week, but I'm all up there with you guys.
Yeah, he builds he builds skyscrapers in Denver. Like, he's
okay. That's pretty cool.
I know, right? He's got a cool job. I need to work for him someday. Zach said some crazy shit that is too long to repeat, but yes, basically the cards are stacked against men. And like Trevor said, yes, it's a little more subtle in America. He's getting hosed right now in the court system over some bullshit. But apparently in Japan, it's not even subtle. It's just...
No.
It's not...
Full on blame.
Japan's not what you think it is. Hey, if you guys really want to chat with us or talk to the three of us, please give us a call. 719-285-9863, and we'll see if Trevor can push the right buttons. Or stay in the chat thread and throw your questions. Again, it's... our guest tonight is Enrique Gutierrez from findmyparent.org. We got dinged for not explaining who we were every so often because people jump in and join and then they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? We don't even know what's going on. It's right there on the screen. Anyway, no, back to what you were saying.
Yeah. Oh, so back...
Oh, yeah. Zach was saying it's a blatant shellacking for fellas in Japan. The Japan's not what you think. There is no...
No being yourself.
No. Yeah, so even no being yourself, and, you know, there's like... Okay, I'll explain to you how bad it is for men there. It sucks. Let me get into one last bit that I think is really relevant. So when I... married my Japanese spouse, right? She was like, hey, by the way, in my culture, it is normal for the woman to take all the man's money, right? And I control it. I'm like, that's funny, but that's good. You didn't. Good thing it sucks for you that you didn't marry a Japanese. You married an American, right? Because it's definitely not going to work here. But this is how bad it sucks. She's like, you know, my mother does it. My sister does it. All my friends do it this way. I'm like, okay, so... good for them.
Did you tell
and,
did you get an accounting degree when you went to college? Because
I did not get an accounting. Well, she probably,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
It's probably their DNA.
Tell her, did you get an accounting degree when you went to college? Or
and so when I went to Japan and I was talking to all my friends there, all my guy friends and girlfriends, like, and they would say, like, yeah, my wife controls all the money. And the girlfriends that I met there, they were like, yeah, I control our husband's money. And I'm like, how does that work? And then I was talking to the guys, like, this is normal in Japan. Normal, okay? The guys allow $10 a week allowance. And it's given to him cash. He's not allowed to have a credit card or a debit card. And I'm like, wait, what in the world?
Wow.
Wow.
And these guys would always tell me, like, I was like, you guys got to be kidding me. Like, I want to have a little bit of fun because, you know, like, you guys can't do anything with $10.
Not even that, but I got to put gas in the car. I got to get on the train to get to work. I got to do stuff. I got to.
Oh, no,
money.
You take the metro station there, right? So it's preloaded. So you reload that and on a monthly basis,
yeah.
The wife knows exactly how much it takes to get to and from work.
Geez.
So that's very calculated. So you can't spend and go elsewhere. So those $10 are a week is like.
So,
that's your only freedom.
I was going to say, you didn't smoke, you didn't drink, no fast food. What can you do with $10 a week?
What can you do with $10?
She got one of those HGTV shows, dude, to make a
you
thing.
You can't even...
$10 a week, living on $40 a day, that lady, whatever her fucking show was.
Yeah, you can't even. You couldn't even buy yourself lunch.
No, not in this day and age.
You know? Wow.
Yeah, not in America.
Jeez.
It made sense to me now why everything for lunch was priced at 4.99 yen, 5.99 yen. Because I was like, why is it always so cheap during lunchtime? I get it now.
Because the guys with their $10 are going to get their weekly lunch.
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go.
Wow.
One that the wife didn't pack for that week.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah, at $10 a week, you could never afford a lawyer. That's what that breaks down to.
And that's exactly what happens to that, because, see, the woman controls the bank account, and when she leaves, she takes all the money, takes the child. So the guy is literally – you can fill in the word there.
That sounds like a really good racketeering, you know. All right, we're going to marry you. We're going to – wow.
We're going to have a kid.
We're going to have a kid, so you got to pay extra.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you this. So, I think you mentioned earlier there is child support. Is there a such thing as alimony when it comes to Japan?
Yeah,
is that something?
Definitely.
Is it?
Sorry, we're in the chat thread.
No, is it? Is it something?
My brother said, "Save and get a hooker." Wait, too soon?
Well, $10.
$10.
Nice.
On the alimony side, is your income taken into account at all, or is it just this is what I want?
He was saying, isn't it, right? You were saying it's just whatever they want.
Well, usually they have this table chart, right? Legally, they have a table chart, but that's not what they go off when you're actually negotiating. Does that make sense? I'll give you my personal case, right? They're like, this is how much income you make. This is how much child support you have to make. And they're like, well, you know, my ex-spouse, she also works, right? It's like, yeah, but she doesn't want to count it part of that. And I'm like, yeah, it's not if she wants or doesn't want to. It's just part. Isn't that the law? He's like, well, do you want to see your child?
Oh,
yeah, I want to see my child.
Oh,
you see what I'm
man.
Saying? So I'm basically like, well, you got to give it, you know, they don't say directly. They say very subtle,
sure.
indirect ways.
See, but I am seeing something that's similar because with my ex, in the case of her withholding my parenting time, it basically always happened when, at least in her mind, I wasn't paying the child support the way that I was supposed to be paying it. You know, the big one that it sounds awfully tiny and insignificant
comparatively. Yeah, holy crap.
But the big one that happened
well,
to
all
me,
Japanese men.
Yeah, the big one that happened to me was I get paid every 2 weeks. The child support order is a monthly amount. So there was a month where I had 3 paydays. I had already paid her
the monthly amount.
So on the third payday, she goes, "Where's my money?" I said, "You already got your $646 this month."
Because July and December both have.
She goes, "Well, you're not getting Abby this weekend." And I'm like, no, these two things aren't linked together.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
And
so I used to manage a store where we worked on commission draw. And I hated it because July was a big sale month and December was a big sale month. So you have 3 paychecks and it draws off your commission. So we sold a whole lot more because of the sale, but people made a whole lot less because of their draw. Same thing.
Yep.
So I get that whole, that's fucked up, bro.
Yeah, that was
fucked up.
That was a mess. Yeah. but like I said, that sounds like a minor inconvenience,
sure.
compared to what apparently the Japanese government allows to happen.
So when let's switch gears just a little bit, not much, but when someone goes to findmyparent.org, what are they in for? What are they going to find?
So when you sign up to findmyparent.org, you'll find in the registration process the way it was designed is. It was those who, for family members who have been separated and want to look for each other, right? And it happens a lot in Latin America and obviously in Asia, as you can hear, and also in the United States. A lot of cases, just, you know, recently we've been having more laws where actually men have some rights, for goodness sake, right? And have some rights to see their children. But before that, you know, we're talking in the 80s and before, it was very difficult for men to be part of their children's life. But so the way it works is you fill out information about you yourself, like myself, I'll fill information about my daughter, my ex-wife, and all my ex-wife's entire family, right? And I also upload pictures to those profiles. And then the child, in this case, my daughter wants to reach out to find me, she'll log in to find my parent, input her profile about herself, and she probably won't know anything about me because last time she saw me was 3 years. She was 3 years of age. She'll input information about her mother and her grandfather and grandmother that she knows and her aunt, uncle, etc. And then our AI will look at all the data and also do facial recognition and any images that are similar or alike. And then it will actually go ahead and link them. They're like, okay, this is who you are. This is who the person that's looking for you.
That's so I'm putting your site up on the screen for our viewers to see.
Oh.
And it looks like a pretty basic interface.
So again, you as the parent, it's not how do I put this? So just playing devil's advocate from a different side of things, like in obviously in this country there's a lot of adoptions, and then people give up children for a myriad of reasons, some of which are noble, some of which not so noble. We don't judge. You had to do what you had to do, right? This is not one of those, oh, I'm going to, you know, track down my dad and at some point, right? Because when Trevor sent that to me, and there's a, because we can only view the world from our own point of view, right? I'm like, well, I never knew my dad. If I go to that thing and blah, blah, blah. That dude does not want me to find him. I'm pretty sure about that, considering it's been like 45 years and change, right? Plus shipping and handling. Does not want me around. I get it. So this is something from the parents' side, correct? This is something that as the parent, you, like you just said, you as the parent upload as much data as you can. So at some point, if somebody like me says, oh, shit, I want to find, like, dad was never around. Mom said a bunch of shit about him. You know, I go looking and then this is up. This is something for where, you know, it's not that deadbeat dad sort of situation.
Exactly. You got it. Yeah. So exactly. So this is when you know the other parent's actually looking for their child, and going to the deadbeat dad, as I, you know, like I said, I know a lot about Japan and I read some about the United States. Obviously, because I'm trying to change the legal system in Japan, hopefully, so I can get to see my daughter. But what the little that I read about the United States, probably about maybe 40 hours in depth, is like this term of coin of deadbeat dads is false.
Yeah.
It really is. It usually is like this narcissistic personality mother who keeps the child or uses the child as a bargaining tool against the father. That's literally what happens. And unfortunately, you know, laws, I mean, recently laws have been slowly changing, but we're talking 10, maybe 20 years ago, you know, a woman can take the child and the dad's basically SOL.
Sure.
And, you know, the interesting thing is that nobody ever questions a woman when they see, I'm a single mother. They're like, oh yeah, you must have a deadbeat dad, right?
Right. Boom.
That's literally the assumption right there.
Exactly. Oh yeah.
It's like, why don't we question, why is he a deadbeat dad?
Well, the other side like, doesn't happen. Sure? If, oh, I'm a single dad. Oh, are you a widower? Yeah. Yeah. It's a quick snap.
We always think, exactly. The guy's a deadbeat. And it sucks, really. It really, really sucks. And I tell people like this analogy is like, you know, before we had these mobile phones, we used to assume that cops just killed people just because they must have been doing something bad.
Right.
But now that we have mobile phones with cameras, we're starting to see that the police sometimes do excessive force and end up hurting people.
We have the 80-20 rule here at Man Tools. 80% of the time, people try, you know, it's usually the right thing or whatever. The other 20% are the dickbags that fuck it up for the other 80%. We get
exactly
that. So, yeah, there's 20% of deadbeat dads. But in the older I get, honestly, especially in this whole situation, I'm understanding the beauty of gray. That gray area that something weird happened. And for those of you out there that, you know, might be in that situation too, is maybe it's just something weird happened that, you know, you never met your dad or your mom or... You know, there can be that with that gray area where, because people are not so black and white, you know, we're not so this way or that way. I'm very sorry for your situation, because understanding what we're hearing now about the entire culture of Japan and how the economy works over there, where men have the privilege of working all week and then, you know, not and getting $10 for their, you know, their lunch and their hooker. sounds like a shit sandwich, man. Shit sushi over there, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah.
Just doesn't sound like a good time.
And yeah, again,
I try to
just steal
things down to stupidity in fifth grader, so sorry.
No, it's a good... Yeah, I think, and we all can agree to this, is like, even... You as a dad, you love your child, right? And for, you know... I agree with you, the 80-20 rule, right? Unfortunately, it's really not like that. sometimes what, you know, I don't think, let me go back. I think when you love your child as a dad, the love doesn't go away for most of us. And it happens in this country as well, where they're taken away. And yeah, if you're looking for your dad, find out the other half of the story, right? Isn't there that phrase where it's like, that's your truth, my truth, but
yeah, and, there's that whole beauty of gray, you know?
Yeah. But the real truth somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, somewhere in the middle. Because people are not uncomplicated. We are very complicated.
Extremely.
You know, so there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to coin the Big Lebowski, a lot of facets, a lot of ins and outs, you know. We're getting some good chat threads on this. I don't know where this dropped in, but it's kind of cool. You guys keep those chats coming. Remember to go over to tinyurl.com/mantoolschat, and we'll actually get your chats coming into us, because for some reason
Facebook only sends maybe half at best.
So again, we're talking with Enrique Gutierrez at findmyparent.org, who's expounding on his story of marrying into the I don't even know how to put it, the Japanese culture of male extortion. That's
there you go.
Not even gonna fucking
share. That's literally what it is.
Yeah, that's horrible, man. I mean, that's truly horrible. You kind of got me on edge here, going like you said, we thought we knew what Japan was from all the media and all the movies and all the stuff. There's supposed to be all this honor and all this, you know, work ethic and this you see like an Anthony Bourdain episode and he's like, Japan. He's like, holy shit, this place. Oh my God. But I don't even know if that man, a guy who can get into the heart of a culture through food and through his thing, ever got anywhere near where you're at, man, into the culture.
Yeah, the thing is that you have to really get to know. The thing about me is like, I really always like, I don't follow the norm. I always ask questions that are hard to ask. And I would always really like make Japanese people like, okay, like put them in an awkward place. And since I was pretty open with them, they would be pretty open with me. And they kind of like hang out. So they started slowly opening up with me, right? And so I got to know the culture much, much more that way. Versus, you know, when you're a tourist, they always just want to show you like the best time and the best of their country, right?
Sure.
And since I'm living there, I'm no longer a tourist.
Right.
They're exposing me to all these things, which is completely different, right?
Yeah.
And living there, you start seeing weird things. And when you're visiting, you don't really pay much attention to them. I know I didn't when I visited, because you're still like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. But then everything slows down. So you're like, okay. For example, like, I start getting an apartment. Maybe, I don't know if it's because I'm a man, too. You know, they always, all these rules that, you know, gender bias. Could be. But I remember I was getting an apartment in Nagoya, and they were asking me like, so you're an American? I'm like, yeah. I was like, okay, so you work for an American company? Like, yeah. So we should prove of income? I'm like, that's fine, right? We do that here for when you get a place, right?
Sure.
No big deal. So they give them information. They're like, listen, you make too much money for your age. Like, so we need to verify with your HR company or company. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Go for it. And they're like, they came back and like, okay, like, listen, so since you're, they didn't say this directly, but they were like, you as a foreigner, they didn't say that word foreigner, but we need some, they said, we need some level of insurance that you're going to make, keep paying the rent.
Oh, flight insurance. Yeah. So you don't bail.
And people have this conception that rent's very expensive in Japan, which is really not. The problem is that in Japan, the medium income is extremely low. So my apartment was like $1,000 a month, and that's including everything, like water, gas, furnished, everything, literally everything. I just basically walk in and they have keys, I have internet and everything. So it really wasn't that bad. And I was like, okay, so they made me get this insurance, and then they're like, and then they came back like, listen, since you're an American, indirectly, I knew what they were getting at. They were like, and we talk about discrimination in this country. They're like, you need to get it like if, some sort of insurance if you break the place. I was like, okay. And my agent's like, I'm so sorry. I'm apologizing. They never asked me these questions beforehand. Right. And I was like, yeah, this is really weird. And then the last one, after she found all these insurances that they requested, the last nail in the coffin was when they asked me, we need a Japanese relative of yours to sign for you that you can go ahead and have this place. And I was like, do you not see me? Do you not see my name? Like, what, where am I going to pull up my Japanese relative from?
You're going to have to go really far back, bro.
Really far. Extremely far back. Yeah. Wow. Let me like genetically mutate one right now. Hold on a second.
I mean,
yeah.
That's a weird real
estate
thing,
that was a level of it.
I mean, okay. Is that just that's just because you're an American, or is the underlying theme that you're getting at is that you're an American male, you're relocating yeah. there, they know yeah. you're going to get fucked in like 6 months yep. and a year and a half when she leaves and takes all your money and you're going to be on the street. They already know.
It's because I'm an American, I'm a male. So one of my friends explained to me the problem with that is that Japanese men are afraid of foreigner men's taking their woman. That's one thing. And they also don't like foreigners in general, even though they portray they love them. So those are the two things why they dislike them, right? And the other part, the reason why is because, you know, those $10, you know, everything is cheap. I'll leave it at that very vaguely in Japan. Everything is cheap. Remember, a guy has $10. So the economies have to match that around
yep.
that.
Right.
Yep.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Got it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You will. Yeah. Yeah, that operates on several biases then. I mean, you're, you know.
And what I mean by that is, like, think about this. I have a daughter, and there's 3 other million children, at least, of the 3 other million children who are in the same situation. Let's say half of them are women. And Japan has laws that are very loose when it comes to prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
And as a father, I'm extremely concerned.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw the line you're drawing. Yeah. Yeah. That was a big marker. Saw that line. I get
right?
it.
Right. And it, yeah, and there's correlations, right? When the father figure is not part of a child's life, especially a daughter, what happens? I mean, usually in the United States, we see them, they join gangs or whatever, right?
Well, I mean, the term daddy issues.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
That's, you know, that wasn't just made up. No. I mean, I'll put it this way. I've never met anyone dancing at a strip club who didn't have daddy issues. And that's probably only because here we do have much tighter laws when it comes to prostitution. Over a lot of those girls, I imagine, I didn't happen to be in the market, but I imagine if you presented the right proposition, they would engage in that activity as well. So yeah, I mean, those are definitely legitimate concerns for someone in your position to have.
And the thing is, these issues are propagated from women themselves who are doing it because they're the ones that are kidnapping the child and then putting themselves in such a terrible position.
Yeah.
And then they put their children in such a terrible position.
Wow.
So they themselves are the ones that are putting their own children in harm in the long term. And I guess they don't really see that. But anyhow.
Yeah, sorry, I had a weird chain of thought thread happen. Keys popped up saying something about dancing in a strip club, and I was like, I mean, if you want to, you'd make a lot of money, girl. A lot of money. I don't think Keys has daddy issues. I seriously don't think so. Anyway,
no.
That's one stable motherfucker. That woman is one of the toughest birds I know.
Yeah.
So.
But it was interesting living in Japan, though. I mean, during lunchtime, because I worked for a semi-American company here, right? Because I could work remotely. And so I would work from like 10 p.m. to like 10 a.m. And, you know, local time
mm-hmm.
in Japan. So I would go out to lunch every day. And it was fascinating because everywhere in every restaurant, like 95% of them were females eating.
Well, yeah.
It was kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
That's a... We should go. I mean, you know, we're not in any way, shape, or form going to be enticed by the local fare.
No.
So we're immune to their wilds. Or is it wiles?
I think it's wiles.
Or yeah. Wiles?
Wills?
Wills? Why do you say it that way? What way? Just
yeah,
to go
but
check
the interesting
it out.
Thing is they the interesting thing, though, is they didn't have that $10 budget.
Oh, no. Hell no. Yeah. They had the 70-hour work week budget.
Wow.
That is a...
Yeah, it was quite interesting. You could see the difference, like what the guys would have for lunch versus the woman would have for lunch. The girls were having like nice little fancy little lunches with their other girlfriends, and the guys are having like their little ramen that's like 399 yen to save another 700 yen for another maybe for another day.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, ah, I see inequality big time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this has definitely been a very eye-opening conversation.
Ridiculously eye-opening. Enrique, please tell everyone again one more time where they can find you and to learn a little bit more about all this stuff.
Yeah, you can go to findmyparent.org. You'll learn about our organization, what we're trying to do. Yes, currently the platform, I'd like to call it, we're a beta version. Our AI technology is probably going to be released over the next several few weeks, where you have facial recognition built into the platform, facial kinship, where basically it can detect who's related to you just based on your pictures that you upload.
Wow.
So if you don't know who your relatives are and you just kind of want to find out like, hey, is there anybody out there looking at me that's related to me, we'll be able to actually be able to do that, which is pretty cool. But yeah, just go to our website. We're updating it regularly with more and more information. You can contact us there. We have a contact page, and send us an email, questions, anything you may have. I'd love to give you more information.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, please. There'll be links and all that stuff below.
Yeah,
very, very eye-opening. And again, at findmyparent.org, it is not exactly what you again, like Japan, not exactly what you think when you read it right out the gate, right? This is something a little bit different. I encourage everyone who I'm seeing a bunch of people just tuning in right now. So I encourage everyone to go check it out, rewatch this podcast on YouTube and Spotify, Apple, all that stuff, everywhere. And watch this interview again. Thank you so much. I would really like to talk to you again in a couple of months, just to see some progress on the software, on your situation, you know, the daughter situation. Please, we would really
absolutely
like to.
Definitely.
We want to know.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's keep in touch.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it for having me on here.
Guys, if you haven't or you missed part of our episode, you need to go back because this chat thread on here is going to be whacked out. You're not going to understand what's going on.
Yes.
It is going to be a wacky chat thread. So you're going to have to watch this episode, you know, again. I see a lot of you guys just, you know, chiming in now. Thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to get on with our show, different part of our show right now.
We are. Real quick, that phone call earlier was urging me, well, part of it was urging me to open our gifts and pour our drinks.
Who called you to tell us to open our gifts and get drunk? Let me guess.
Who do you think?
Let me guess.
So why don't you open your gift while I rack
up. We got men tools Christmas.
Pour some drinks.
Trevor's going to make some drinks. We're going to have a holly jolly Christmas, yeah. Apparently. All right. I got Christmas gifts. You're on Man Tools. Oh, shit, snacks. What is this? Oh, that's amazing.
And all of this is coming courtesy of my wonderful wife, Carolyn.
Thanks, lady. Check it out. It's a Man Tools patch, which are available at
Amazon.com, and you upload the picture of our logo and then have it made.
God, and she made me the beanie.
Takes a couple weeks, but
oh, that's so awesome! I was hoping she's gonna, knit me some Man Tools underwear, but it's Man Jules gift time. Oh, that's awesome. Dude, I'm... Yeah. Yeah. Now I need some little... Yeah, that's perfect. That's awesome. Carolyn, thank you so much. You're so awesome.
All right, now I'm going to... I'll open mine.
Did you get underwear?
I'll have to see.
Dude, right, Keys? This is sick as fuck. This is so awesome. Yeah. Zach, what do we say in German? Oh, yeah. I got the two-tone.
The all black. You got the two-tone.
Sick. I dig it. Oh, this is awesome, lady. You are so fucking awesome. God damn, she's good at this. Look at that. Like, that's a straight line. I'd have to use a straight edge to get that thing.
Yeah.
Look at this chick. Thank you so much. That's so sweet. I'm stoked. Marty says, shout out to Carolyn. Hell yeah.
Cheers,
Merry
buddy.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Everyone, have a holly jolly Christmas. We will not likely see you next week. We're going to be doing something different. So,
yeah, we're going to probably release another, what was previously Patreon only, as a Christmas gift to our audience. And then New Year's, I'm going to cut together kind of a best of the year.
Yeah.
As long as it comes in under 30 minutes, because that's what Restream will let us put out for free as a scheduled stream.
Sure.
So yeah, that's probably what you can expect for the next 2 weeks. Should we hit up, let's see, we've got some cool stuff and tool of the week. I think we at least need to hit.
Oh,
we for
absolutely.
Sure need to meet our obligation to EXO AutoWorks,
which we will roll right meow
and get that on the website up. As always, EXO AutoWorks is a, I hope, proud sponsor. We're proud to have them. I don't know. He's gone, but
it's still there.
That image is still there.
That's cool. You can hang out with us, Enrique.
There we go.
Enrique.
Yeah.
All right, EXO AutoWorks, ladies and gentlemen.
Off the screen. Colorado Springs, home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. And I wanted to highlight tonight as well, they also offer front or rear disc brakes for $225 on most vehicles.
That's right.
This includes rotors, pads, and hardware installed. They also do fleet services, fluid services, repair services, and so much more. They work on all makes and models, including high mileage cars, and they offer a 24,000 mile, 2 year nationwide warranty. You should be calling EXO AutoWorks at 719-375-3232 or go online to exoautoworks.com to book your appointment right away. And that brings us to the tool of the week. Sponsored by EXO AutoWorks. This, I don't know if you've seen this story. Whatever airline this is, I guess it's United.
United.
According to the news. I saw conflicting things that said it was JetBlue that may have been confusing it with a similar situation from a few months ago. Anyways, I'm going to play this video. It pretty much speaks for itself.
Viral video shows a 2.5-year-old refusing to wear a mask on a United Airlines flight.
Listen, Evan.
That little girl, Edeline, was heading to New York City from Denver with her parents, Elise and Earnhardt Orman, for a family tradition.
We've flown with her twice in the summer, so this was going to be our fourth time flying. So honestly, we just assumed it would be like the past couple of flights, which we've just gotten treated very well.
But a flight attendant flagged the couple down to put a mask on her. Then when the plane backed off from the gate, it
they're even just holding
back,
like a facial
her
covering.
Her father trying to get his daughter to
just
wear that
hold
mask.
It on her face,
I'm literally
broken.
Holding it over my daughter's face.
But it wasn't enough, and with the cell phone camera rolling.
And the airline still goes,
that
get
flight
off.
Attendant
get off.
Following the guidelines stuck by them, and that family deplaned, leaving in tears.
It was very traumatizing, very humiliating, like very confusing. As a mom, as a dad, we need to fight for our children.
United Airlines giving this statement. We have a multi-layered set of policies, including mandating that everyone on board, two and older,
two
wear
and older.
A mask. These procedures
Dude,
are not
two
only
and older.
Backed by
Three
guidance
years old.
From the CDC.
Now,
I was a well-behaved
kid. So they say
kid.
Something about the guidance from the CDC. The CDC, unless they change something, which they do every day, but the last time I looked, they said 10 and over.
Yeah.
For requiring masks. And they've kind of backtracked on even requiring masks at all. They've kind of went, well, yep. maybe not. The other thing I want to point out, this is what really bugs me with this, with the airline, with the mask thing. As soon as you have food or a drink,
yeah,
everyone takes their masks off.
At the same time.
And you all end up breathing in
everything.
That air. Because it can't get fresh air while it's up, you know, in the sky. Nope. It's just recycling. And besides that, anybody that's ever dealt with a two-year-old, the policy of doing anything with a two-year-old is fucking ridiculous.
Sure it is. I mean, all right, I look at it like this.
You should get a gold medal if you fly with a two-year-old and it doesn't cry for the whole trip.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly like, what I was going to say.
I mean, that is the gold standard of control and obedience that you can have with a 2-year-old.
Yeah. Seriously.
Now the airline tries to justify it. Well, they refunded their money. No.
Of course you did. They didn't partake in your service that you supposedly provide.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think this lady goes on to say in at least one of these, maybe not in this one. The mother says that I believe they're now banned from United Airlines.
Oh,
and I don't know if that happened right when they got kicked off or now
or
because she's been talking to the media and saying,
likely.
Look what bullshit this is.
Likely.
So,
to travel. Okay. I've traveled a lot as of you. People always travel with their kids. It just is what it is. And me being a softie for kids, I end up being as obnoxious or as fucking rowdy as the 2-year-old because now I have an excuse to be an asshole.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
I do. I get ham sandwiched on the plane and then we hang out with the kid. Like, it is what it is. I'd rather, you know, they were like, oh, I have dinosaurs. I'm like, cool, let's play dinosaurs. I'll mess with the kid and kill my 2 hours. And the parents get to sleep. That was a trip to Memphis one time. They were so happy. They were like, can we buy you lunch? Can we hang out? I was like, nah, that's good. I dig kids. They're cool as shit. And, you know, to have somebody, you know, pay attention to them in a stressful situation, you know, and be as goofy but also an adult. Yeah, they had a good time.
Yeah.
I don't get a bent out of shape about that stuff. I'm very, I don't know, man. I'm very sorry for your guys' situation. Glad you got your money back. There's at least that. But the flight attendant, that guy gets tool of the week. Hey, you're going to have to go because your 2-year-old.
Well, I wouldn't quite pin it on the flight attendant. It's kind of like the Walmart greeter where we're,
oh,
you know,
God, fair. I feel like a dick now.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's just trying to earn his wage and do his shift.
I just got told I have to do this thing now.
He, I would guess, it thinks it's just as much bullshit as anybody else. You know what I mean?
Oh, Carrie says she had a friend fly from Hawaii to Georgia. $2,000 upgrade to first class. No soda, no water because of the mask thing. I'm assuming she's trying to make the point. No soda, no water because of the mask thing. But beer was okay.
Yeah.
Because you make money on beer. Marty says it's a control issue dictated by those in control, paraphrasing horribly. Sorry, Gilla. I stand with the theory that CDC is not the Center for Disease Control, says Zach.
Yeah.
It is the coordinating department of communism. Fair enough.
Yeah, definitely. And one news story, we didn't really get into the news, because
we
with
were
good in, reason, we
yeah,
were in a good
we
discussion.
Were enthralled with a great.
But I did want
guest.
To make sure everyone saw. I got two things. Well, a news thing and a cool stuff. We'll just do them.
Let's do
without the music or anything.
Remember last week we talked about our tool of the week was that Santa Claus that said no guns? Uh-huh. Well, this is the mall making good.
Okay, so quick recap, everybody. There was a Santa who was a douchebag. He was a tool. He was our tool of the week. Kid came up, said he wanted a Nerf gun. And he says, no guns. No guns at all.
I won't bring you guns.
Guns are bad, okay? Yeah, guns are bad.
But the mall said, and I haven't heard if this guy got fired. I hope he did.
Don't bring your political bias to your job.
But they, the mall arranged for this to happen.
Michael!
No way.
Michael, come here!
I hope they made that guy do it.
There's someone at the door.
Amazing.
Can you go get the door?
If you keep working at Dillard's, you're
gonna fucking open the door. Store this kid a Nerf gun.
Open it. It's unlocked. Open it.
Coronavirus killed the influenza star. Nice job, Dave.
Open the door. Open the door.
Where are you?
This kid just went, fuck you, and kicked him in the balls.
Fuck you, Santa. I don't get my Nerf gun. Right in the jump.
Well, we're so sorry about that, okay?
Can he come in?
Yeah.
Can Santa come in?
Of course.
Yes.
This is this.
Boom.
This. Yes.
When I heard you were coming to check on me from Amazon.
Yeah, well, I heard about this up at the North Pole.
Yeah, me too.
And I rushed down the hill.
This is crazy. This is
crazy, he says. Hell yeah. Magic at Christmas.
It's just a Nerf gun.
Wow, he's so light.
Nerf gun's as big as he is.
Yeah, it is.
What do you say?
Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Michael, what do you say to Santa?
I said thanks.
Oh,
I said it. Leave me alone. Let me get to the gun.
I follow protocol.
I follow protocol to the letter. That's good shit. All
right, Michael. Santa's probably really busy. He's got to get back to the North Pole. Should we let him go?
Just one second. I'll find this other.
Shake his hand, little dude. Come on. No.
I guess that's where
it is. Whatever.
Good
for you, Maul.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And cool stuff.
Cool stuff.
Cool stuff.
Cool stuff.
Yes, this is it.
Yeah. All right, this is bizarre. Ladies and gentlemen,
you know what this is?
Please enjoy this. I want you to put your earbuds in. We'll give you a moment if you haven't already, or turn up your speakers just a little bit. There will be no commentary for the next at least a minute. We would like to let you experience, especially for you musicians, experience what a Christmas song would sound like in a minor key.
That's right.
It's just dark.
It's, you know, they're not quite sure they're dashes. It seems like
sauntering through this. Look at us.
Sauntering through this.
Christmas Carol.
Jesus, so videos work on hand tools now. All joking aside, great video quality. Thank you.
Wow,
appreciate that.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Keys. Wow. Yeah, we'd forgotten about that. Jinxed us. Yep, that's the Christmas like song in a minor key.
Another 40 seconds of that song. So
dark and black, like our souls, yeah. And our coffee.
But yeah, I definitely wanted to make sure we got those in, even though we really didn't get into the news this evening.
That's all right. I was kind of looking at there's a whole lot of World War II stuff that happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
We definitely have a
Boatload
rich week of history, which we will hit now.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So this week in my history,
what I got left out?
Our story.
Whatever, dude.
You're not left out. See that tattooed arm up there?
Whatever,
bro.
That's
definitely yours.
That's definitely mine.
let's see. December 17th, 2007, I became a daddy. And now I feel really old.
I'm the godfather to...
My daughter turns 13 today.
The smartest little shit, I swear to God. God, dude, you know she's gonna take over the world.
Yeah,
I offered her the job to build us some websites. She's like, "Oh yeah, I'll get that done after my homework." I was like, "Brilliant, brilliant little kid, nothing." She's 13.
Yep.
Happy birthday, young lady. You're a star. Definitely a star. Next in history.
December 18th, 1865, slavery was abolished in the United States with the final adoption of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which states neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. And that is a depiction of the... I forget how it works when a constitutional amendment happens. I guess the president does have to sign it. So,
yeah, there's a ratification.
After it gets passed by both a supermajority in both houses, then a majority of the state legislatures have to pass it in the same way,
right?
If I'm not mistaken, and then the president has to sign it. It's the most extensive, like, you're seriously changing
the
shit.
Law of the land. Yeah.
Which is the process that should happen. This is going to sound racist, and I don't necessarily mean it that way, but whenever you take away a right from somebody, which is what was kind of happening there, you had the right to own slaves before this.
Yeah.
That's how it should happen. You know what I mean?
Right, because the way that our government was set up prior to this is that there was property, and it just so happened...
It included
some people. So that was a right that... some people had.
Yep.
And the time of enlightenment finally happened, and it was over.
And
that
was corrected. They
it
went
was corrected.
Well. Corrected. So yes. Anyways, I always get when we get into like how the Constitution works, I get kind of excited and
get all fired up. This also goes for...
Especially back when they actually followed it.
Right? That would have been great. Damn it, you beat me to the joke, sack of shit. I was going for it, and Trevor beat me to it. His hat is one color, mine's
well,
two.
And I always point to drug legislation. Mm-hmm. If you compare the Narcotics Act to prohibition of alcohol prohibition started with a constitutional amendment that gave the government the right to prohibit alcohol.
Well, it started with a religious movement.
No, no, but I'm saying under as far as the legal proceedings.
His wives are pissed off. Their
yes,
husbands. Okay.
Yes.
Anyway,
but
go on.
It began with that amendment that said, yes, the government has the right to restrict this. Then there was an act to lay out how they were going to do that and enforce it. The Narcotics Act, they never did an amendment giving the government the right to deprive you of using drugs.
Completely.
And now you may say, well, drugs are bad. That's not the argument here. There's a process that should be followed.
Yep. So that was the argument. That's funny because that's the argument Zach and I had the other day. Well, it wasn't an argument, but we're sitting there chitty-chatting about this. And he said, well, what's this, you know, the prohibition, blah, blah, you know. It's basically like a weird fucked up prohibition that we're going through now with the closing of bars. And I'm like, well, that kind of, this is an unconstitutional, you know, biasing of businesses, whatever we're dealing with now.
Yeah.
Then they actually did the right thing. He's like, what? I'm like, no, they went through all the steps and states ratified it and they went through all the steps to get it up and they outlawed
booze. They amended the Constitution to say that the government could ban that. So... all right. December 19th.
We're too long.
I know. December 19th. Sorry. Yeah, December 19th, yes. 1909. This surprised me. A group of American socialist women denounced suffrage because it was a movement of the middle class, which I don't quite get that terminology coming from socialists. I thought they wanted everybody to be the middle class, which really ends up everybody's just poor.
That just shows you that, and I've said this before, every movement has drift, so it drifts away from the initial, probably wholesome or proper or whatever term you want to use, the straightforward mission of the movement. Everything drifts, and then you get this stupid shit.
And I mean, I don't want women to suffer either, so I'm down with
it. If you guys would like to watch some really funny YouTube. Please look up End Women's Suffrage Petition on YouTube.
It was done by The Man Show.
Yes, The Man Show.
Who beat us to the name.
I wasn't going to tell them that, but they could draw their own conclusions. Just watch it. It's hilarious.
Let's see. December 20th, 1941. The Flying Tigers.
Yeah.
American pilots in China enter combat against the Japanese. And this is significant because they were actually... they were operating in China before the declaration of war. What this meant was a lot of them were military guys, but they actually had to resign their commissions and get hired by this private, I'm kind of doing quotes because it...
Air quotes on the radio.
You know, quasi-private is probably a more accurate, but they were hired by this company to initially do like supply runs and stuff to the Chinese that were fighting the Japanese, who we knew... Because they were allied with Germany and Germany was against England, basically, we were helping anyone that was against the Axis.
Yeah. So,
but it put them in a position to, you know, I mean, what, December 7th, of course, is when the bombing of Pearl Harbor happened. December 8th, I'm pretty sure, the Declaration of War was passed. So these guys were ready to rock and roll.
They were
because
already
they already had
a
presence there. Yeah. So by the 20th, they were like in action with fighter planes, not just doing the supply stuff. You know, they had repurposed, I'm sure they had fighters like for escorts, but they had repurposed these things to actually engage in combat more so than just escort bomber or escort,
transport.
You know, freight.
Yeah. Freight.
Anyways. Also one of the greatest John Wayne movies
ever. Thanks. I was going
tonight. I have
that's
such
twice.
Fond memories of sitting with my grandfather and watching the Flying Tigers.
Flying Tigers.
I would always get a kick out of it shows a lot of pilots getting like hit with machine gun fire and you know, the kind of lame 40s special effects of the blood using it. But when you're a kid, it's like, oh my gosh,
it just started,
you know, bleeding out of his mouth and stuff, which was kind of not something you typically saw. So the Flying Tigers jumped into action there.
And I'm going to coin a phrase. We were sitting out front of your house the other day whilst working and saw this huge stray cat in your neighborhood.
Yes.
We're now going to call them something else.
I remember you saying it, but I don't remember what you were
calling
them.
From now on, stray cats will be known as suburban tigers.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. The Suburban Tigers.
The Suburban Tigers.
German did not work. No fucks given.
Let's see. December 21st, 1620, the Pilgrims land at or near Plymouth Rock. And there's some, I guess now some historians say that this may not have even happened. Who knows?
Who knows? I wasn't there. I don't
somewhere
have
around that date and time, some people from Europe showed up.
Close enough.
And interestingly, I don't know if you remember, a couple years ago we had that dude from the Pilgrim's Digress podcast on.
Nice.
And finally learned the difference. I had no idea that there was a difference between Puritans and Pilgrims. The Puritans wanted to purify the Church of England. They didn't want to leave it. And right. The Pilgrims decided we've had enough, we're going to leave.
Yeah.
Because they were being persecuted for wearing buckles on their heads.
It was a...
We're not going anywhere with that? You missed my joke?
No. I'm going to leave that alone.
The English were like, you buckle hat wearing motherfuckers.
The views expressed on
what does
man
that do?
Tools.
What do you tighten that? Like, I've never understood that when you see those hats with the buckles.
I'm thinking it was they were passed down. Marty says, "Yep, they were tightened."
Okay. and finally,
jeez, Louise.
December 22nd, some kind of modern history. 1989, the division of East and West Germany effectively ends when the Brandenburg Gate, they were already starting to dismantle the wall, but the Brandenburg Gate is opened up and people can just go back and forth.
People were like hitting it with sledgehammers and, you know, not coming down. But once they got this out, and I remember that vividly.
Yeah, once the gate was open, that was it.
And people walking back and forth and just like, fuck it, I'm going to walk to this part of the city.
Yep.
Can you imagine growing up? I mean, because there were people, you know, grew up with the wall always up, right?
Well, could you imagine living in a city?
Yeah.
Where a couple blocks away, let's say your cousin lives, and then one day, oh no, we're two different countries and now you can't go
right?
see your cousin.
And then, because you've lived long enough.
Oh, seeing the flip, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you see it come down and you can go visit your cousin and walk over there again.
Yeah.
What a fucking trip.
Strange. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I guess the same thing happened with like North Korea too. Mm-hmm. There are Koreans where you know, they have relatives that live obviously not in the same city.
No,
but,
north of the DMZ and
but,
south
you know,
of the DMZ.
Conceivably a short drive away.
Yeah.
So bizarre. Yeah.
We've always been at war with Eurasia.
Yeah. That's right. We've always been allies with
East Asia.
That's right. I was trying to think of the other country that they...
I showed Zach 1984 the other day. He was like...
Dude, that's a...
He's like, the dude's sitting there like, he's rewriting history. And then he throws... I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's... He's like, what the... Yeah. It's not a manual. He's like, what? I know. That was great. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of great, this has been an episode.
And Zach chimes in, could you imagine living in a country where you can have your family over for the holidays, where you can't, I think he means you can't have your family over for the holidays, but government officials can travel and do whatever they want. Yep. Yeah. Speaking of that.
I'm imagining it now.
Joining, obviously already in the pantheon of governors that are toolboxes, Cuomo keeps going on these rants about how you can't go visit anybody for Christmas and blah, blah, blah. Well, I guess he has a December birthday. Invitations to his birthday gala were leaked.
Yeah.
And he...
Hundreds.
What really boggles, at least Newsom gave that half-assed kind of, yeah, I shouldn't have been doing that apology. Cuomo basically says that the office of the governor still requires some pomp and circumstance, despite the... And it's like, no, fuck you, no. man. And your birthday doesn't have anything to do with the governor's
your
office.
Personal birthday has nothing to do with
the governor's
office.
It's not like it's the birthday of the state of New York, and you're like, well, we still have to have a party.
We would like to quote Keys from Sacramento. Fuck Newsom.
Oh, yeah. And Polis. We'll throw him in there,
and
too.
And Polis.
Yeah.
And the horse they rode in on.
And with that, I guess that's
poor
the
horse.
End of the show.
That poor horse. I don't want to. And the ATV they rode in on. And the clown car they all fucking dive into.
Well, Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, brother.
Cheers.
Thank you so much. Here's to another good year.
Absolutely.
We did shows.
We did.
We did shows. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you very much for the awesome Man Tools beanie. I will wear it with pride. With my Look on Virtue Signaling Man Tools mask. Available at Redbubble. It's gotten me a whole lot of compliments. Like, oh my God, you're such a dick. Yep. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And the mask that I survived the corona apocalypse and all I got was this crappy mask. That one, oh man. When people actually pay attention to it,
yeah,
they're like, that's hilarious. So we will not see you next week live, but you can enjoy Man Tools at the regularly scheduled time right here on all of your favorite podcast places to get them stuff, things, stuff.
Yep.
Bro. We're having a holly jolly Christmas, Zach.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, of course, EXO Auto Works and Harmonic Studios. New one, Twisted Apes Bar and Grill. Madrid Maintenance, and we would like to thank Zach over at Lone Wolf Productions. We're going to start cranking up some off-site video stuff that's going to be incorporated into the show, and he's going to be helping us out with that.
Yeah, this new year is going to come with a whole lot of extra stuff.
Yep.
Kind of like the worst part of Saturday Night Live where they did all the digital shorts. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, Man Tools digital shorts sort of a thing.
Thank you for watching and or listening. Please check us out on the web at mantoolsmedia.com. If you're on any kind of social media, including every kind of social media, also Pornhub, at mantoolsmedia. Just check it out. You'll find us on there. I actually uploaded some shit.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
All right.
If you would like some of our merch to keep this place going, to keep the halls decked with boughs of holly and stubby Christmas tree. Sure.
I'm going to guess I picked the wrong resolution for that picture.
Oh, good. I thought it was the maker's mark. I was, whoops. If you would like to keep us rolling, that'd be super helpful. Check us out at mantoolsmedia.redbubble.com for all of the Man Tools merch. Also, if you would, patreon.com/mantoolsmedia. Patronages started about $2 a month. I do the $5 a month one. You get some extra cool stuff.
Yeah, we've simplified how we're breaking that down. We used to do like $2 gets, you know, stuff in audio while $5 gets video. Now we're just doing, if you're in the $2 tier, you're going to get one or two extra videos a month.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's a extended episode live stream or something that we upload or whatever. And then if you're in the $5 a month, you're going to get four or five.
Yep.
That's the way it's going to work. Minimum of one for the $2 and four for the $5.
That's right.
Tiers.
Also in the $5 tier, we do the rando gift. This month's rando gift goes to Enrique. Sorry, guys. We're sending it to one of our guests because he gets to have a male privilege.
Check his privilege.
Checked male privilege. Check his male privilege t-shirt. So we'll be sending that to him. And then next month, check your inboxes for all the updates. Thank you guys so much for watching, listening. Like, subscribe, do all that crazy shit that they tell you to do on the YouTubes and the channels and the things. So you can get notifications of what and where and when and how. Trevor?
And we'll see you next year.
Next year. Man.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.